King James Bible with us. I have mine here tonight, the Word of God. And what a treasury the Word of God is. I'm following the old codger's advice, reading it every day. And I'd like you to turn to Psalm 37 tonight. Please take your Bible. I hope you have your Bible with you. And take it out and turn to Psalm 37. Now, I've heard a preacher say that Psalm 37 is a psalm on how to cool it. How to cool it. Sometimes we get all worried and fretful and uptight because of everything we face in this world. And Psalm 37 is a psalm on how to cool it. It gives you the big picture. It counsels you who are living for God how to win over your enemies and how to conquer them. And it tells you how the Lord can help you to defeat, outlast, outlive those that would defeat your purpose in Christ, and how to cool it. And tonight, rather than give you the counsel of the entire Psalm 37, I want to preach on one verse of the psalm tonight, just a textual message. So please look down Psalm 37 in your Bible and look down at verse number 3. I'll read it, and that's what I'll preach on. It says there, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now this psalm is inspired word of God through King David. And King David had gone through a lot of opposition and attacks in his life. He was anointed of God, and he managed to conquer all attacks. He managed to overcome them by the grace of God, and he overcame his enemies. And so he is eminently qualified to preach, to give you the counsel of this psalm. The name of this message is Counsel to Help You to Conquer. Counsel to Help You to Conquer. Because if you're serious about living for God, you're going to have to do more than cope. People that take drugs try to cope. People that get drunk and drink try to cope. God never says, here's how to cope. No. He says, here's how to conquer. And he didn't make any armor for the back because he didn't expect you to run away from the enemy. He expected you to stay with it and to conquer. So I want to give you a couple things tonight. Actually, there are two of these things that are what I would call prerequisites for you to do to conquer. And then the last one is a promise for you to claim about conquering. So we're going to look at the first two, which are prerequisites for you to do to conquer. And the last one in this verse is a promise for you to claim on how you can conquer your foes. And when giving this counsel to conquer, then the first thing that the king says is by resting your weight upon God's sure foundation. For you to conquer, you've got to do that. Now it says, trust in the Lord. And what does that refer to in verse 3? Trust in the Lord. Well, trust means to put the full weight of your hope for eternity upon the foundation the Lord has laid for your life. Now, the Bible says the just shall live by what?
Faith.
And you cannot live and escape hell and go to heaven without faith. Amen? And you can't live in this world once you have that eternal life without stepping out in faith. I like what our former pastor said. Faith has a foundation, but faith also has feet, and faith fights. And so that is the first thing that the king says. You have to have faith to live and to have eternal life and then to live in this world. The just shall live by faith. And if you're going to conquer through the counsel given, then you need to have that faith. And that faith starts tonight with your resting upon the only true foundation for your life. Now, remember Jesus said, he counseled in Matthew 11:30. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, come to me and I will do what? I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. And so this message starts out with, you have to receive the rest of Christ. You know what rest is? The word for Shabbat, the Jewish word Sabbath. And the Jewish people from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, they rest. They don't make meals. They don't do any labor or any work. They rest, right? The Orthodox Jewish people do that. And the Bible says that's one of the Ten Commandments. The Sabbath, you should not rest. But you say, how is that fulfilled in the New Testament? In the New Testament, the Bible says the Lord did the work for our salvation. He did it all. He lived a perfect life. None of you have done that, and you can't ever do that. And then he died a death that paid for the sins of anyone or everyone that will put their faith in him to save them. And so when you come to Christ, you're resting in his finished work. And that's how you're keeping that Sabbath commandment. You enter into his rest. Because where's Jesus right now? He's resting. He's sitting down. He's doing this. I just wanted to do that after VBS this week. I'm sorry. He's doing this. Amen. He's resting because the work is done. The question is, are you resting in his finished work? He said, it is finished. And it is. You cannot add any work to that. You could get a statue by Michelangelo. It would be worth billions of dollars today. And I know this guy's creative. He can make things out of cardboard. But if he messed with that statue, I'd say, you idiot. You have destroyed the value. And it's the same thing with the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you add to it any work of your own, then you can't get into heaven. You say, well, I've given money. That's not going to get you into heaven. Well, I've done this at church. I've worked hard. I helped move things. That's not going to help one iota to get you into heaven. If you're trusting anything or anyone in addition to Jesus Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. I'm going to tell you that tonight. Because the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Why? Because God will not accept boasting in his presence, my friend. And take my advice tonight. Trust the Lord as your only foundation. And that's what happened to me when I was 17, you know. I came under conviction, Wendy Wise. I came under conviction, and I realized, man, I'm not going to heaven. I thought maybe I'm going to go before that. Maybe I've done enough to go. I don't think so, but maybe, you know. But when I read the Bible, I knew that I would not get in based on my life. And I was under conviction. And I said, Lord, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I didn't know how. But my grandmother then told me the good news that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owed. That he split the curtain that separated the presence of God from us. It was not dead works that would do anything. Jesus did it all. And he split that. And when she said that, my faith went to Christ, and I was saved. I didn't understand it then, but I was saved. And from that time on, I've had a rest in Christ, a trust in Christ. And that's what you need, and that's why it's good news. You know why it's good news? When the Holy Spirit strips you, you know how when you do a floor, you strip it, and then you wax it? The first work of God is to strip you, and you're naked, and you see all the flaws in your life, all right? I'm glad I'm not part of a nudist colony, amen, because we're not perfect, none of us, all right? None of us, and so he strips you, and he shows you how you are in the presence of God. And you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. And you're going to split hell wide open based on that. But thank God he doesn't leave you there. When you look to Jesus Christ, he clothes you in white, a pure white garment, and it's perfect. And anything I get that's pure and good, I spill on it, right? And stain it. But I'm so thankful that that white garment, any stain would just be disappear. Because he gives you the perfect righteousness of Christ. That's salvation. You're not saved by being religious. You're not saved by going to Christian school. That's good. You're not saved by going to church. All that. That's not going to save you. And I went to Christian school as a kid, but I wasn't saved. I needed to get saved. And God had to strip me and then show me it's a free gift through trusting the Lord. And here's what the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that's why we share the good news. We heard Brother Jose saying that tonight. We heard Ben saying that tonight. We heard my wife saying that tonight. We heard Matthew saying that tonight. We are out there giving the good news. Why? Because people are hearing the bad news. It's all around them. And when they get stripped by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, they're going to need the good news. Amen? It's like the cool fool when he got stripped. He was sitting there quiet and he was ready to hear the good news. That's the problem. A lot of people, you say Jesus saves and they just laugh at it. You know why they laugh at it? Because they haven't been lost yet, so they don't need to be found. They haven't been in peril, so they don't need to be saved. But when you know where you stand before God, when you hear the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. And that's the greatest need in this world today. It is the gospel. Oh, I don't care if it's foolishness to the world. I don't care if the world says, that's foolishness to me. Listen, and I don't care if the religious world says, oh, that's foolishness. I don't need that. Let me tell you, you need it. You need it today. It's the greatest need of your life. And so trust in the Lord means that you are resting on the only sure foundation for your life. And that's the only way you can conquer. I'm so glad I can say tonight, I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. You say, how can you be so sure? You're so prideful. Who do you think you are? No, just the opposite. I'm one of the chief of sinners. I am not looking to my works. I'm not resting in my work. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And that is the sure foundation. And you know what? That gives you joy. You can have joy and peace in believing. What is believing? Well, you go to the bank and you put money in the bank. And it used to be they'd say, man, that's like money in the bank. But now they say, I don't know, the bank could fail. You know, the government could fail the way they're spending and what they're doing. You know, it scares you to think money in the bank, you know. But what's more important than money? The salvation of your soul. You're going to be out of here before you know it. I mean, time just goes by, let me tell you. I'm reminded I'm getting older. I don't like to hear that, but but you know, it goes by. It goes by. But I'm glad I took care of a long time ago, putting my soul salvation in the hands of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you committed your salvation to Jesus? You say, well, I don't know if I can live this life. I don't know if I can give this up, or I don't know if I can give that up. What you need to give up is your ability to do anything to please God, and give your salvation to Jesus. And then he'll take care of the rest. Yeah, you can't live the Christian life, but when he comes in, he can live it in and through you, and he will. And that's what I find. That's how I can conquer. It's by trusting in the Lord. And that's where it all starts, you see. And then once you have that faith in Christ, then you can walk by faith and take baby steps and then more steps and overcome a God. One step at a time, one day at a time. That's how we live this Christian life. And so it's so important that if you're going to conquer, you have to rest your weight upon God's firm foundation and then take those steps one step at a time. And there's a second thing, though, and I want to look at that second thing. Next, he says, not only by resting your weight upon God's sure foundation, but how are you gonna conquer? By walking forward in doing good. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So once you get saved, now you can do good works. Sometimes people say, well, we're not saved by good works, so forget good works. Well, once you get saved, here's what the Bible says in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people zealous of good works. Now, if you get saved by God's free gift, not by works, and you rest upon Christ, let me tell you something. God will put you to work. He says, listen to this. He says in Matthew 11:30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's me. Stop your working for salvation. Come to me, I'll give you rest. But then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What's a yoke? That's something that you do to work. That's two oxen get into a yoke so they work. Once you come to Christ, he gives you rest, but then he puts you to work. Right? He puts you to work. That's his will for your life, to work with him, to work in his yoke. And that's no yoke. Amen. It's a Swedish joke. That's no yoke. And he wants to put you to work for him. And he said, my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. And then he goes on, he says, you'll find rest for your soul. For your soul. I thought about that. Rest for your soul. That doesn't mean your body's not going to rest. Your body's going to rest, not rest. It's going to work. You find rest for your soul. What's that talking about? Well, Mary had a little lamb. It grew up to be a sheep. And then it joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep. In other words, he'll put you to work once he gives you his salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. The acts of the apostles are the acts of the Holy Spirit of God working. And he puts you to work. And so that is a blessing. Now, I think of Diane here. She had to go home last night. I went to call upon her and give kids over to her, and I saw she was not going to make it. I could see it, and we went to Brother Joe. We said, we'll put Diane's kids in Brother Joe's class, and I knew he was going to make it. But Diane, we couldn't count on her, and because her body. And then this morning, she was in Sunday school, and I knew that she couldn't come up because she said, I'm just too weak. I have to go home. And she went home with her husband after Sunday school. She's back out tonight. But you know the thing about Diane, the thing that worries her the most and bothers her the most and saddens her the most people would be, you know, they're sick. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried what's going to happen to me. She's not worried about that one little bit. Not one little bit. She's sad that she can't work for the Lord. She wants to work for the Lord. She's everywhere when it's time to work. She's zealous of good works. How about you? Are you? It says trust in the Lord, yeah? And then it says, but do good. You say, well, I'm going to heaven. That's all I care about. Well, that's not all God cares about. God says there's a lot of living to be done between when I got saved at 17 and now when I'm 37 and counting. There's a lot of living to be done. You like that, don't you, when I say that? But there's a lot of living to be done, and you've got a lot of living to do. And I'm talking to you tonight about how to conquer, how you can cope and get out of work, and you know, but how you can conquer. And the Bible puts it this way: it says, "Be careful to maintain good works." Be careful to maintain good work. I think of the yoke of Christ. When you get into the yoke of Christ, he puts you to work. You know, the amazing thing is, when we started having VBS years ago, we didn't have a lot of workers. So a lot of that work fell on us. But you know what? Now we have a whole team of workers. And it's just so wonderful to do that. Now, I was exhausted at the end of VBS. I'll be honest with you. I'm exhausted at the end of it. It's work. But I'll tell you what, it's great to be involved in teamwork. Many hands make light work. You know, we're going to move some things tonight. You know, many hands make light work, right? And it's a blessing. And so God wants you in that yoke of Christ, doing your part. It's not just enough to take in the Word of God. It's like watching a football game. How many of you have ever watched a football game? My wife doesn't like to watch baseball. She does like to watch football. I can get her to watch football. In fact, if I watch a football game without her, she gets mad at me. She's like, why didn't you tell me? I'm embarrassing her. She's going, But it's true. Why don't I embarrass myself sometime, right? but she does. She said, you should have told me about that game. You know, I'm a Steeler fan. I want to watch it with you. And that's true. But you ever notice in football, there are about 50,000 people that don't have enough exercise. They're up there sitting around eating hot dogs. They're like last night, Angela made all these hot dogs. Now all these guys were eating them in my office. I'm eating a hot dog. And they're having fun time with the hot dogs, you know. Then Brother Steve said, I want a hot dog. And then Miss Patty, I want a hot dog. And then Brother Steve was afraid to go out and get the hot dogs. He said, what if they're not enough? So finally, who brought them in finally? Miss Patty. She went and got the hot dog. She wanted the hot dog. And, you know, hot dogs are good. I wish I wasn't a vegan sometime. I'd eat those hot dogs. You know, that'd be great. But anyway, you know, but you see these people sitting around the stands, and you got 50,000 people that don't have enough exercise and, you know, too much to eat. You got the players on the field, the 22 players on the field, they have too much exercise. And they're needing some rest, amen? And that's the way it is with God's work sometimes. And so God says, not only rest in the true foundation the Lord has given you, but get to work with the Lord. Get in the Lord's yoke, and he will put you to work. And I'm so thankful we see that in our vacation Bible school going on. And I'm thankful that our teenagers are getting involved in the work of God. And, you know, when you do that, you really appreciate it. Now, here's what the Bible says. It says, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. You know what? There's a time to rest, and you know what that is? When you die. Blessed are they that die, Lord. You ever gone and seen a casket and you see somebody just laying there? And you know, I believe in burial. I don't believe in, what's that called, cremation? Cremation in the Bible, whenever they burn the body, I know it's cheaper and people want to do it, but cremation in the Bible You can get some bargain funerals, you know, without cremation. Cremation in the Bible always stood for judgment, burning in fire. You want a picture of your relative in hell? That's what it pictures when you cremate. But burial pictures they're going to be raised from the dead. The body going is not the end of the body. No, he's going to bring that body back up out of the grave. Even the damned, their bodies will come back out of the grave in the last resurrection. Unfortunately, then their bodies will go to hell and they'll burn in hell, body and spirit, with worms coming out of the body. It's horrible. If I wasn't saved, I would run to Jesus, not walk tonight. I really would. I'm just saying, I don't get it. But listen to me. I mean, you rest from your labor when your body is laying there and your soul and spirit are in heaven, right? And even when your body's raised from the dead, it won't get tired in heaven. You can jump around. You can work. You'll never throw your back out. You'll never throw your neck out. You'll never get sick and have a stroke. It'll be great work. But right now, it's hard work, right? Labor means hard work. And he said they rest from their labor. I don't think Christians even break a sweat sometime in God's work. And that ought not to be. And I thank God for Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You know, we're planning a new business here. It starts in September. And we're planning for VBS next August, right? And we have all these things. And I look ahead and I say, man, do I want to do all that work? Do I want to plan all that out? And I just say, no, yeah, I'm going to plan it all out. And then I'll do it one at a time. And God will give me the strength to do it one at a time. Because it's not time for me to rest yet. Really, the time it says here, Revelation 14, is when you're in heaven. Your body is resting in the casket. You rest from your labor. But don't forget this. It says, and their works do what?
Follow them.
Follow them. See, if you go to, you know, I feel good. How many, when you really get tired, the bed is nice. You like going to bed. It's like when you want to rest. I mean, that's, boy, that feels so good. You're just resting. Ah, I love that. Ah. So, you know, and especially after BBS or after Christian school with the kids, you know, you get tired. Oh, I believe you. No, the kids aren't tired. The kids aren't tired. That's the whole point. You know, what do they do in retirement communities? They don't have kids in there. But I don't want to live like that. I want kids around me. I want to work. Why? Because I'm investing in their life. I'm investing in their life. And that, how do the works follow? When those kids live their life for God. It's worth it. You see, it's worth it. And so here's the counsel for you to conquer. Number one, are you resting in the foundation of Jesus Christ as your only hope of heaven? Number two, are you working with Christ in a meaningful work of God by doing good? By the way, when you do good, the devil will attack you. He won't attack you just for being good. You say, I'm just a nice be-gooder. Well, he won't attack you. It's when you do good, that's when the devil attacks you. And, you know, I've got people in this church, they do good, and then they get hit by the devil. They say, why was that? Well, you ever heard the phrase, no good deed will go unrewarded? Well, when it comes to Satan, that's the case. That's the case. You think of somebody trying to save our country? It will be attacked by the devil. If a politician steps out of the norm, oh, it'll be attacked by it. We're seeing it happen. But anyway, let me get to the last point. How are you going to conquer, and I'll finish up here, by feeding on God's faithfulness. Here's what it says in Psalm 37, verse 3, last part. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. All right? First, you got to rest in the only true foundation. Then you got to go to work with Christ. And if you do that, there's a promise to claim. You're going to dwell in the land, and you'll be fed. All right? Are you experiencing that? I have experienced that. Someone has put it another way. They said that if you are living in God's perfect will, that's like the land of promise. You know, for us today, we don't live in the promised land, but we live in what? God's perfect will. What's that? Here's a copy of God's perfect will right here. You live in God's perfect will.
It's the Bible.
Yeah. Are you reading it? Are you hearing it? You're staying awake today. You're getting it. That's so good. I'm glad. So, you know, that is so important. So you get in the Bible and you're living the Bible. And you know, the only translation of the Bible some people are going to see is you. The Bible in you, right? Because they don't read the Bible, but they see it in you. And so they see it. Now, another way to read this is that so shalt thou dwell in the land, and you will feed on God's faithfulness. You will feed on God's faithfulness. God will show you how faithful He is when you trust in the Lord and then you do good. He will show you how faithful He is. I remember our church. It was in 1996. We went through a time of great attack and opposition. We had a lot of people leave us back in 1996. How many remember 1996? That was back in the day. And we had people leave us. It was a tough time. And I remember at that time, Pete Cowling, who was a teacher at Hiles Anderson College. How many have heard of Pete Cowling? Not many of you, probably. Some of you have. Very godly man and a science teacher. He was a PhD, but he was a professor at Hiles Anderson College. And he had a singing group, a tour group, and he brought them to our church right after we went through that battle in 1996. And the church was really depleted. Let me tell you, it was tough. And Pete Cowling was here, you know, and he had the tour group here. And then he came back the next summer, and he came back the next summer. And he knew a little bit about me and what we'd been through. And after about three summers, he saw the change. The church was growing. God was blessing the church. And he left me a proverb. And the proverb said, in effect, basically it said, he encouraged me, a faithful man will abound in blessings. A faithful man will abound in blessings. In other words, what he's saying to me, you're trusting in the Lord, Pastor. You're doing good. And guess what? You're feeding on God's faithfulness. He's giving you blessings. Do you know I found a lot of people just don't stick around long enough to see the fruit of their work? They don't stay in the land. They don't stay in the will of God long enough to see the blessing. They get discouraged at the least little thing. And some get discouraged at a lot of big things. But don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anything make you leave. You bury yourself in God's will. And don't stay out of it. And I've learned that. Just stick in God's will and stay with it. And I am feeding on God's blessings. He keeps blessing me and blessing. It takes time, though. But after a while, it mounts up. It's like watching a child grow. You watch a child grow, and you can't see him grow because you're right with him. You don't see him grow. But you leave a child for a little bit of time, and don't they change? Sometime over a summer, a child changes. And who was it? Melly over here? She told me she's in what, fifth grade? Sick going into sixth. I was like, come on, you got to be kidding me. You know, she seems older than that. But kids change and they grow, right? They grow. And I'm just trying to say to you tonight that you may not see the blessings right away. Because we want instant coffee, turn on the lights, we got instant light, Everything is instant. You know, I'm out there, and the guys did so much work. The Majeskis did all this work, and the church did all this work to help me to get my lawn and get the house waterproofed, and then to get the landscaping, right? And they planted grass seed. But, you know, that grass seed, Brother Bob, wasn't growing like I wanted to see it growing. I kept watering it, and I've been watering it. So I bought some black dirt. I put some on and planted some more and more and water it and water it. Why, VBS on Friday night, you're starting to get tired, right? But I had a lot of energy Friday night, and I came home after VBS, and I said, now I'm going to water that lawn. I watered it for about an hour, just out there watering that lawn. Well, Saturday comes, something about Saturday at VBS, you know, you're getting tired, right? So I was like, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if you'd water the lawn for me? It was sunny and everything else and hot, but I said, wouldn't it be nice? And I came home that night, and I'd forgotten about the price. Oh, I got to water that lawn. Oh, yeah. And it was raining up there. And I was like, and I told my wife, she said, isn't God nice? Isn't God? She likes that kind of stuff. Isn't God nice? And he is. He is. You feed on his faithfulness. But you put in the work, and you put in the time, and then you feed on. And this is how you conquer. So I want to just conclude by saying, number one, are you 100% sure you're saved? If you're not, you need to give your soul to Christ to save it. And say, Lord, I trust what you did. When you died on that cross and were buried, I trust you with my salvation. I trust you with my life. And he will save you right there, because it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved that moment. You don't have to wait. You'll get saved right that moment. And secondly, as soon as you get saved, start doing good. Get baptized. That's a good thing. And then do good. And then you'll feed on his faithfulness. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about God's counsel to conquer. And I wonder if you say, preacher, you know,